sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Good shooting, John. Once again, smack on target.
I love to take the abstract, odd, weird, bizarre concepts of Darwinian evolution and just sink them to the bottom of the sea where they belong. I'm John Krulinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where they take a, where we take a lighthearted look, a light-headed, a happy, friendly view at rather divergent ideas of where we came from, creationism, evolutionism. We try to use Bible. We try to use science.
And we use a lot of common sense to just debunk the garbage that's out there, folks.
Well, some of us are blessed with common sense, and you are listening to it right now. But anyway, we want to talk about, we want to get a little spacey today, don't we? Not hard for us.
No.
Let's talk about some interesting worldviews today is how you look at the planets, how you look at the universe. Let's go up a little higher. Let's get high together.
Let's get high. Actually, let's go off and look at the Earth from a different vantage point, that of an astronaut or a cosmonaut.
Well, except for pictures, we wouldn't have much of an idea since you and I don't regularly travel that highway. But how do we get that perspective? What perspective are you talking about?
Actually, we want to contrast the perspectives of the cosmonauts of the early 60s with the astronauts of the 1960s in their worldview, because they both got up there in space and they made some pretty profound statements, and were they statements and scientific discoveries they arrived at when they were in space? Or do they just really espouse the package they bought up with them? We can look at that a little bit today.
Did they bring their perceptions with them in the space capsules, huh?
Yes.
And okay.
Or did they really find something up there?
Okay.
What did they find?
Well, so why don't you start off with our Russian comrades.
Our comrades. Comrade, actually, the first famous comrade was
first
Yuri Gagarin.
Yuri was the first one in space, the first astronaut of any kind.
And, of course, he made that very bold, if those of you want to go back in the 1960s, a very bold statement of that when he got into outer space, one of his very first words is, I didn't see God up there.
No,
because
God.
Because he took the very primitive idea that Christians prayed to a God up in heaven, and the heavens, he got above the heavens in his mind, and there was no God up there. He didn't see one. No one said, hi, I'm God. Of course, then there was that funny comment that came. Well, they said to him, if he'd have stepped out of his spacesuit, he would have seen God.
In a hurry.
In a hurry. Well, actually, we don't agree with that one either.
We got the idea, and it's a good one. 1961 or so, first man in space. So his perspective, let's place this in a proper historical context. 1960s, height of the Cold War.
Height of the whole Cold War between atheistic communism versus just the American capitalistic system, which was still basically a God in God we trust country.
God, mother, apple pie, and all of that kind of stuff. And so there was two completely divergent worldviews, even cosmologies.
Not just political views. These go beyond their political views.
All right. And he goes up in the space capsule. He looks down on Earth and he does not see evidence of God. And again, communism. That was their mantra.
And they were the first ones there, and they were thinking, we're winning, we're winning, we're at the scoreboard.
We're first in space, and, you know, you puny people on Earth, you know, look up at us and see where communism is.
We are getting to be the world god, so bow down and cave to what the inevitable would be.
A logical understanding given their premise.
So he's sort of attempting to debunk God and angels and religion in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And actually, he was followed by Major Gerhard Titov, his comrade, who went up there, and he even made some pronouncements.
Well, here's what he said when he got up there and got the perspective that
came back down. And
Yuri, he said, "I believe in." Oh, he believes. He believes in man. I believe in man. I believe in his strengths, his possibilities, his reason. But man, I don't believe in God.
No, man's as high as you get, folks. Mm-hmm. Our strength, our possibilities, our reason is the closest God concept you'll get.
Mm-hmm. So that represented that, frankly, Darwinian view of we are it. That's all there is. And is that the only...
Well, you know, what's really interesting, it'd be kind of fun, Stan. Mm-hmm. What do you think, you know, what does God do when he saw that? How would Paul, you know, if the Apostle Paul had a chance to speak to these people, how might he describe this attitude that they had?
Well, when Paul wrote to the Romans, he was really talking to a very secular, a very kind of knowledge-oriented. Yes.
He's talking to the Romans. He's talking to a culture which thought their king was God.
Mm-hmm.
The Caesar was God.
Okay.
Caesar is Lord. The same kind of people were humans as the highest. Well, that wasn't the Roman thought, but the Caesar was almost like God.
Well, in verse 22, chapter 1, it says, professing to be wise, they, talking about people in the past, great people in the past, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Dropping down to verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity and so forth. It says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator.
So we have here on column A, we have the creature. We have Yuri and
I believe in man.
And Titov.
I believe in man. His strength,
I see no God.
His possibilities,
and
his reason.
Vodka.
Pass the vodka. No. And so man is everything, and that is their perspective, the height of the acme of evolution, to quote Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah. Well, the irony is that it wasn't too many more years later. You know, actually, I just want to back up one step, though, Stan. Mm-hmm. You know, for them, that they made one small step in science, they made it in space, which actually was quite a big step for science.
Always a huge step.
But it became for them an immense leap in philosophy, declaring there is no God from just that one little experience of getting orbiting the Earth.
I can see a planet. I do not see a supernatural being leaning over it or angels flapping by. Therefore, there is no God.
Yeah, that's quite a philosophical leap.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the biggest, was a pretty big one. But, you know, there were other astronauts that did go to space in the 60s, and America Apple Pie and soon caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And in Apollo 8
Yay.
In 1968, they were the first astronauts not only to leave, they left Earth's gravity.
Yes.
And not completely, but they left Earth's gravity in the sense that they were out heading toward the moon.
They went loony. Uh-huh.
And it was interesting to know they were circling around. And it was actually kind of a tense moment in Houston and NASA, because here now, for the first time ever, the capsule was going to go out of radio contact. And it was going to go behind the moon.
Behind the moon.
And it was going to be out of sight. Mm-hmm. So the astronauts would be on the dark side of the moon, not being able to see Earth. And not being able to radio
communication. There was a concern, you know, will they be okay?
And the time is going, da, 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 da. And when they get to the side, what would they find? What would they say when they got back around?
Well, instead of, I don't see a God up here, instead we had one of the astronauts reading from the Bible, from Genesis 1.
Christmas Eve.
In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and went through the whole creation story. And, you know, it was a wonderful thing. And I remember it as a kid. I remember the words. I remember the drama of it. And I remember how it just connected with my heart and, frankly, my presuppositions and my worldview, my cosmology, that there was evidence. They were looking at the same. And here's the thing, John. These astronauts, just like the previous ones, were looking at the same data, the same evidence, came up with two different conclusions.
It's interesting that one was looking at it from a real up-close angle, the cosmonauts. They were just orbiting the Earth barely out of the atmosphere.
Okay.
And the other ones are coming around from the moon and seeing an Earth rise from the moon. And just in awe that planet was just so perfectly designed for life that they had to believe that there was a designer, a life giver.
Was it an IQ question? I mean, I assume the cosmonauts, they were officers. They must have been,
pretty
not,
bright people,
not devoid of IQ. And I think the Russians handpicked them to be examples of the society. So they were gifted people.
Yes.
So this is not a question of intelligence. What is it a question of?
Really, it's a question of using, they were using their experiences in space to confirm the a priori's, the suppositions they already held when they went into space.
Mm-hmm.
The beliefs were already part of who they were, and when they both saw the same evidence of the Earth from space, they both proclaimed loudly their philosophies or their backgrounds, neither making a scientific statement proving it, nor disproving or proving a religious statement either.
Mm-hmm.
They're just stating what they believed,
Statements of belief based on their own experience.
Yes.
And looking at the same evidence, however. Now, what this has ramifications for is, can a creationist and can an evolutionist look at the same data and come up with different viewpoints?
Yeah. And the reality comes down to, or if you want to put it down in this story in a real key issue, has God created man, mm-hmm. or has man created God?
Exactly.
And they both thought that they came up with the evidence to support that view.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, John, you know, I had a science background, or at least I wanted to be a scientist when I grew up, and I'm still thinking someday I may grow up. But the science business of it, I wanted to be this objective seeker of truth, and that was my image of science. When I instead became a science student, a geology student at UC Riverside, I in fact found out that scientists were very biased people, just like everybody else. They had their views and their personal beliefs.
And their turf to protect.
And all of those kind of human foibles that we find ourselves in, they were actually not particularly more gifted at finding truth than anybody else. They had their preconceptions, and they, as more often than not, were trying to kind of find evidence that would support what they already believed. Now, having said that, I asked one time another scientist, I said, you know, statistically, scientists on the average do not reflect the religious belief of the American average person on the street.
No.
Like maybe even three or two to one in the sense of there takes, you know, it's like 30 or 40% of them believe in the same kind of Christian God that everybody else does. Did they get that personal belief as they were confronted with evidence, as in their studies, or did they already have that personal belief as they entered into those mm-hmm. fields of study? And this scientist, who I really respect, said, no, I'm quite sure that most had that thinking going into their studies.
Yeah.
And what do? They find evidence to
confirm,
support.
Yeah. Just to confirm, because, mm-hmm. you know, the irony is, what if God would have sat outside Yuri's or Major Titov's mm-hmm. capsule and knocked on the door, knocked on the window and said, here I am. Could you imagine what would have happened to communism? If those they probably would have thought they went lunar. they went Lunar Tunes, loonies.
Yes.
And they would have probably said they went nuts, and they would have probably had these guys put away.
Uh-huh.
They'd have found a rehab in Siberia.
Well, you know, it's really funny, and John,
that would have shattered their worldview.
I've been to Russia. One time we did an evangelistic series over there, early 1990s, just after Perestroika and the opening Glasnost of the West, of the Russia to the West. And the people in Russia do have faith. They are a faith-based nation. They have religion going back centuries, and the people in Russia really do believe in God, many of them.
Yeah.
And today's cosmonauts would not make statements like that. And why? It's because they're allowing the perspective and their worldviews to include Christianity, and the Russians are
embracing it
and sharp enough to pick out a better philosophy.
And so the reality is that the statement that makes the statement of faith by the astronauts, though it didn't prove the existence of God,
mm-hmm.
I think really confirmed the reality of, boy, we can't figure this out unless there is a God in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It made
mm-hmm.
a lot more sense rationally
mm-hmm.
when you look at just how fine-tuned and this universe
mm-hmm.
is. And
mm-hmm.
and that's what we hope to find on Sink the Beagle, to give you reasons to say, you know, you're not an idiot if you believe. If you believe in
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely, yes.
There is plenty of reasons. There's plenty of evidence.
Science really does give you tons of reason to believe. If, however, like Jesus said, seek and ye shall find, you're looking for reasons to doubt, you may find reasons to doubt. Not all the questions are answered, but there's plenty of evidence, listener, and we hope that you continue to listen to Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.